A study released today tries to explain why so many death penalty verdicts are reversed. 2 years ago, another study about the death penalty suggested that capital punishment cases are riddled with mistakes. That study covered thousands of death penalty cases between 1973 and 1995. It found that two-thirds of death penalty verdicts were reversed because of errors that were made during the trial phase or at the appeals level. The new study examines the conditions under which errors are committed. NPR's Barbara Bradley reports.
Lloyd Schlupe is not a particularly sympathetic character. In 1984, he was serving a life sentence for attempted murder when an inmate at his prison was stabbed to death. Schlupe was charged. All along, Schlupe claimed he was far away in the lunchroom when the murder occurred. Defense attorney Sean O'Brien says his client's account was bolstered by a prison investigation.
After the murder happened, the prison investigators went through the housing unit with a tape recorder, and they just started questioning prisoners one by one. There were 11 prisoners who said that they saw the crime. Of those, a majority of them said, "You've got the wrong guy."
But the transcripts of the interviews didn't surface for several years after Schlupe was convicted and sentenced to death. One time he came within hours of execution, only to be spared by a last-minute stay. Then in 1991, Schlupe got a new attorney, Sean O'Brien, who started investigating from scratch, demanding documents and any material that could exonerate Schlupe. O'Brien says he kept finding holes in the government's case, but the state and federal appellate court said he was barred from presenting it. O'Brien says that's typical.
These cases don't get the kind of scrutiny on appeal that they deserve. There's a greater likelihood that a death sentence is going to be affirmed and carried out based on a procedural technicality than vice versa. These technicalities people talk about are constitutional rights.
In this case, incompetent counsel and prosecutorial abuse. In 1996, a federal judge ruled that Schlupe should receive a new trial. Eventually, Schlupe made a deal with the government. He would plead guilty to the crime, he was in for life anyway, and avoid a possible death sentence. Whether Floyd Schlupe is innocent or guilty, his zigzag case is typical of death penalty cases, disturbingly typical, according to James Liebman, a law professor at Columbia University. Liebman has looked at thousands of death penalty cases between 1973 and 1995. In the first part of his study, released nearly 2 years ago, he found that 68% of capital cases are reversed because of errors by the prosecutor, by the judge, or by the defense attorney. Part two of the study tries to answer this question: why are there so many errors? Liebman says it boils down to this: the more frequently a community or a state goes for the death penalty, the more often it will be overturned. He says in one way that's counterintuitive. You'd think if a prosecutor's office does enough death penalty cases, they'd get good at it. But he says the opposite happens.
When jurisdictions reach out and spread out their death penalty so that it's a kind of scattershot penalty that goes after the weak cases as well as the strong cases, those jurisdictions are missing a lot. Whereas if they target their death penalty on the very worst of the worst cases, there's a much lower likelihood of error. They tend to have a much higher success rate.
Liebman found the error rate varied from county to county in the same state. For example, Austin, Texas had few errors, Houston had many. And he believes he can define some conditions that make for more death cases and higher error rates. For example, in places where there are a larger percentage of white victims. Also, he says in states where judges are elected in tough contests, more cases are reversed. Liebman says if a judge feels he must show himself to be tough on crime to win re-election, then he might allow the death penalty in more marginal cases and be overturned later. Liebman found a third factor he hadn't expected. There are more reversals in those places where there is a high crime rate. He says the sense of helplessness may prompt district attorneys to ask for the death penalty in weaker cases. Liebman cites the case of Lynn Abraham, the district attorney in Philadelphia. Abraham was asked by a reporter why she routinely seeks the death penalty.
And one explanation that she gave was that in Philadelphia there was a sense in the community that this was Bosnia and something had to be done about the crime. And in her view, the death penalty was one thing that could be done to convey a sense to the community that this crime problem was being brought under control.
Liebman concedes Philadelphia's reversal rate is not that high, but it's rising, he says, and this kind of policy has led many other cities into trouble. Not surprisingly, prosecutors say Liebman's study is way off. Ron Eisenberg, who heads up the Capital Division for Philadelphia, says the number of reversals shows the system is working, not failing, because death is different, utterly final. He says judges err on the side of caution. Moreover, Eisenberg says, a defendant facing the death penalty has far more appeals than an ordinary defendant.
If you go to the well often enough, sooner or later, you are going to have a chance of hitting a court that's going to view or want to view things your way.
Then there's the problem that death penalty law is a moving target. Bill Ritter, the district attorney in Denver, notes that since the death penalty was restored in 1976, the rules of what is constitutional keep changing.
And if the Supreme Court changes anything, however slight, it could really result in the reversal of a whole host of cases that were tried and tried well, and at the point in time they were tried, you know, comported with the law as then stated.
For example, after the Supreme Court ruled that a jury must be told that a defendant can get life without parole instead of death, all the previous cases in which the jury was not so informed were called into question. Ritter expects that would happen if the Supreme Court decides to bar execution of the mentally retarded. Most states have bans against such executions, but, he says,
for states who don't have that statute, if the Supreme Court decides, in fact, that you cannot execute someone who's mentally retarded, the United States Supreme Court, then any conviction where a person is kind of at the line of mental retardation is probably going to be subject to reversal.
Critics like Ron Eisenberg say that Liebman's study is disingenuous. They note that Liebman personally opposes the death penalty. He's represented capital defendants. And so they say his report should be viewed as a piece of advocacy. Liebman counters that statistics are statistics. And he says nowhere does he recommend that the death penalty be outlawed in all cases, just the close ones. Barbara Bradley, NPR News, Washington.